Straight ahead, the legislature brought to a standstill. Texas Democrats in a rare standoff, leaving the state, delaying redistricting, and generating national news. But they can't stay gone forever. So what does a win look like for them? Republican leaders issued civil arrest warrants for Democrats. Governor Abbott going further, trying to get their leader, Gene Wu, thrown out of office. We'll go beyond the bluster, though, with GOP State Rep. Shelley Luther. Democratic states now threaten to redraw their own congressional lines, making it easier for them to win. California Congressman Kevin Kiley, a Republican, on his bill that would ban it all. Plus how used batteries from electric vehicles will soon help stabilize the Texas electric grid. And get ready for churches to become more political, a significant change from the IRS.
Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley starts now.
Thank you for joining us. A lot to get to on redistricting. Let's begin the program, though, with some of the political headlines you might have missed over the last week here. The Republican race for U.S. Senate could get upended a little later this summer. You might have seen the brand new ads for Congressman Wesley Hunt. He represents part of Houston and is trying to increase his name ID statewide, though. Said to be considering a run against Ken Paxton and John Cornyn, perhaps, for the Republican nomination to the U.S. Senate. Get ready for churches to become more political after the IRS changed a rule that it's had for more than 70 years here. Churches can now endorse political candidates, something Republicans have wanted for years. This ends, though, a ban that dates back to 1954. The agency said that if a house of worship made an endorsement, it would be seen as a private matter, like a family discussion concerning candidates. And hundreds of batteries from old electric vehicles might soon help stabilize the Texas electric grid. The Texas Tribune with this fascinating piece here, 500 used batteries from Nissan will soon store extra energy from solar and wind farms. The grid will be able to draw from it if supplies get tight. This is happening on the east side of San Antonio. All right, now to the political struggle that has consumed this state and has the nation talking. Should Texas redraw congressional lines right now in the middle of a decade without having any new census data? Just because a president asks. Democrats broke quorum to stop it, bringing the legislature to a standstill, but they cannot be gone forever. So this morning, something different. Instead of one Democratic voice, here are a handful of them that we heard from over the last week outside Chicago, explaining why redistricting right now in the middle of a decade is something that voters should care about.
We have to make people understand this just isn't Texas, right? This is Donald Trump trying to rig the national midterm elections by doing mid-decade redistricting. And if it happens in Texas, it's coming to a state near you.
This is not normal to redistrict. We're not supposed to do this midway through the game. Everybody resets the playing board at the beginning of every decade, and then you play fair games. Republicans decided last year they didn't like the way things were going, so they took 4 seats out of North Carolina. And now they don't like the way things are going, and so they want to take 5 seats out of Texas. You don't get to change the field halfway through the game, and that's what they're doing.
Look, the Texas congressional map is already heavily gerrymandered. Republicans have far more representation in Congress from Texas than they should, based on those statewide elections you mentioned. I would argue that the existing congressional map is already racially gerrymandered as well. But what they're trying to do is take it to a whole nother level and whittle away what little representation we have in Congress in minority neighborhoods across Texas.
This is politicians choosing their constituents rather than voters choosing their elected officials. And when you put it in those terms, that makes people really, really mad. Voters want to be able to choose their elected officials, not the other way around.
We have to think about this in Cold War eras, right? And it's like the Republicans have been launching nukes and we've not been responding at all. So what happens if we don't respond? They just launch more. At some point, in order for this to stop, people have to be willing to say, if you launch one nuke, we launch all of ours, right? And we don't want to go to war, but war has come to us.
Let's do an independent commission to redraw the lines, give the voters the opportunity to draw our districts, because I don't know a single voter that likes the idea that their politicians are picking them as opposed to them picking their elected officials. So let's let the voters redraw the lines.
All right, let's bring in the round table to talk about the politics of this. Ashley Godot is the managing editor of politics at KVU in Austin. Abby Livingston, congressional reporter for PUC News, and she is in Washington. She is in New York, and Aya Mitra is with us from Austin from the Texas Tribune. Abby, let's start with you. You've been covering Congress for a long time here. There's lots of political theater around this. John Cornyn talking about, you know, wanting the FBI involved to assist here. Governor Abbott, we see him going to the Supreme Court. Of all this political theater, what's going to come of this? Because in 2003 and in 21, these things just flamed out at the end of the day.
That is fully what I expected to happen this week, and it hasn't. And part of the reason it hasn't is because of the escalatory nature of what is coming from the Republican statewide leaders, particularly regarding law enforcement and the use of law enforcement with these Democrats who are basically on the lam. And I think where this is headed, the question is, will we see Democrats under some form of detainment? And how does the public and how do the courts react to that?
Yeah, and if they are detained, Ashley, if Democrats are actually detained by any law enforcement agencies, it's a civil arrest warrant, it's not a criminal arrest warrant, there's no crime that's been committed here. But that could backfire on Governor Abbott, couldn't it? And really rile up Democrats and perhaps Texas independents.
Oh my gosh, the photo op. Can you imagine? Because you know there will be cameras rolling. There will be body camera video of lawmakers, especially your black and brown lawmakers in handcuffs being escorted. I mean, at one point we heard that this is actually something that the Democrats would want to happen because it could help play into what they're trying to do and play into this narrative and their fight, especially to push back in the midterms.
And you know, I was talking to a Democrat up there in Chicago the other day, and I said, you know, how much do you make of Governor Abbott going to the Supreme Court and asking to have Gene Wu thrown out of office, the minority leader? And this other Democratic state rep said, we'd love that because we'd love to have Governor Abbott sit for a deposition on this case.
This goes beyond Texas, and this is a national thing for the Democrats to, in terms of how they're taking this, and they really want to make this a discussion about representation, duly elected people potentially removed from office, and that debate is something that on a national level that they really want to have. I mean, from a Governor Abbott's perspective, you know, he is trying to, you know, impose a system that, you know, that wasn't necessarily being brought up a lot by Texans when it came to redistricting, and so. So that's for the Democrats on a national, and that's where they want to take this conversation.
And Abby, later in the program here, we have Kevin Kiley, a congressman from California. There's another congressman, Mike Lawler from New York, two Republicans who are saying, listen, we're going to be in jeopardy in these Democratic states if Texas, a Republican state, goes through with this. Are you hearing from any other lawmakers talking about this?
Absolutely. And I find it remarkable that a member of or a politician from another state is appearing on your network. I've just never seen that in politics, and I think that explains the scope of fear, and there is going to be collateral damage on both sides of the aisle among members of Congress in different states if this becomes a statewide fad, which it appears very much on track.
Yeah, it does appear like that on track. Moving by the minute here, too. Guys, back to you in just a moment. A lot more ahead here, including this.
When we come back, Republican State Rep Shelley Luther on what it's like inside the State House that's at a standstill. And the California Republican warning Texas of the consequences. Congressman Kevin Kiley on why he wants to ban mid-decade redistricting. Up next on Inside Texas Politics.
Welcome back to Inside Texas Politics. Texas Democrats will face thousands of dollars in fines for breaking quorum. The House of Representatives enacted that punishment last time this happened, 4 years ago. But Republicans right now want even stricter rules. Our next guest, Republican State Rep Shelley Luther, a Republican who represents Sherman, Bonham, and other parts of North Texas. Representative, welcome back to the program. After the last quorum break in 2021, the House rules changed to fine the members who left $500 a day. Thousands of dollars is adding up for them. But what kind of changes, if any, would you like to see to prevent these quorum breaks from happening in the future?
Well, we have to do something, and it's got to work, because if we don't do whatever it takes to get the Democrats back into the Texas House, they will continue to do this. This hasn't dropped yet, but I have heard that they could lose their seniority, parking spots, chairmanships. I think that's next on the books. So we'll see. Right now, they're just trying to use legality of whether or not they're allowed to leave, I think, is what Governor Abbott is doing. Yeah. And I think he is also putting something out saying that they could be stripped of their seats completely.
Yeah. I know you're in your district office right now for this interview, but describe the mood at the Capitol, because it's no business is being done there. It's kind of quiet in some form, I would guess, huh?
I would tell you it's frustrating. As someone that takes me well over 4 hours without traffic to drive to the Capitol to come, and we can't do anything because the Democrats are gone, and then get in my car and drive back home, it's really frustrating. It's costing money that it shouldn't cost. As a retired teacher, I was so excited to get rid of the STAR test, like so excited to have that on the call. And we just can't do anything. The flood victims are sitting around with no help. And the Democrats are grandstanding instead of doing their actual job that they signed up for, that their constituents put them in place for, and just basically just putting their hand up to the people that need help. And to me, it's just, it's sad.
You know, redistricting is typically done at the beginning of the decade when the census provides new information, new numbers out. Should Texas be doing this right now, mid-decade, just because the president asked?
It's definitely legal. And honestly, it would just put us on the same page with many other states that have many Republicans in them, but are very Democrat led, or they have a Democrat lead in those Congress seats. Yeah. And so honestly, we're just catching up with the other states.
Well, now we're hearing from a number of states, including Illinois, you know, Maryland, New York, and others in California, especially, who say, listen, if Texas is going to redistrict in the middle of a decade, not at the beginning of a decade, if Texas redistricts in the middle of a decade here, we're going to do the same thing to make it easier for Democrats to win. Are you concerned at all that the Texas move might backfire on Republicans nationwide?
No, because those states are already gerrymandered. So I would love to open it back up. We might actually gain some seats there.
Last thing here. Democrats cannot stay gone forever. Obviously, we've seen what Governor Abbott is trying to do with the state Supreme Court, getting the minority leader, Gene Wu, thrown out of office here. You know, as someone who's watched a couple of these in the past, why all the political theater? Why not just let the quorum break flame out? You know they're going to come back. This can't last forever.
Because they'll continue to do this over and over again and try to get in front of cameras and do anything they can do to get attention or try to, you know, raise money. And they're literally raising money to not take a vote, which to me is illegal.
Representative, always good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You know, if Texas redistricts, then Democratic states are now threatening to do the same. And that is worrying some Republicans nationwide. Congressman Kevin Kiley is a Republican from California who introduced a bill to ban this.
Congressman, welcome to the program here. You condemned California Governor Gavin Newsom for wanting to redistrict mid-decade there in your state to abolish the independent commission that your state has set up. You called it a threat to democracy, but this whole thing started in Texas with the Republican governor there wanting to redistrict mid-decade. Is the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, is he too a threat to democracy, you think?
Well, I've been very clear that I don't like what's happening in Texas either. Naturally, I'm more concerned about my own state of California. And it is true that what's happening in California is much worse than what's happening anywhere else. Because in our state, we actually have an independent citizens redistricting commission that was established by the voters. I think that is what I mean by a threat to democracy, because the governor is explicitly violating the will of the voters.
You said you wanted to get to a system where gerrymandering doesn't exist anymore. I think a lot of people would probably like that as well, too. But gerrymandering, as you know, has been around for more than 200 years. What would it ever take to get to that point where the country moves on beyond that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, one idea I have is that we have a couple of issues with elections where there's actually quite a bit of public support in one direction. So the public doesn't like gerrymandering. I think there's widespread public support for ending gerrymandering and having a fair drawing of district lines. And then there's this issue of voter ID. There's broad public support for requiring voter ID in every state in elections. And so one of those has been more of a priority for Republicans. One of them is more of a priority for Democrats. I think that there may be a deal that can be reached. And I've been having some conversations with people on both sides of the aisle about it. by at least the time we do this again in the next regularly scheduled redistricting, why don't we change those two things so that we get rid of gerrymandering, we have voter ID, and we could have a lot better, a lot fairer elections going forward.
Congressman, we wish you luck. Thanks for the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, a lot to get into. The roundtable is ready when we return. And don't forget, you can take Texas Politics on the go. Two podcasts for you now. Inside Texas Politics, if you ever miss an episode, is now a podcast. And Yolitics, it's interviews, newsmakers, and they all explore the issues facing our state. Look for both wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley.
All right, time now for Reporters Roundtable to put the headlines in perspective. Ashley, Abby, and Ian all back with us here. First time I think we've had three A's on the roundtable, so thank you all for being here. But Ian, let's start with you. The Democrats leaving the state really puts the House Speaker, a Republican, Dustin Burrows from Lubbock, in a peculiar position because he wasn't elected by his Republican colleagues. He was elected by the Democrats, the very ones he has to figure out now how to punish.
That's right. And the Democrats were critical in, in the vote count that Dustin Burrows got his house to become House Speaker. But he's also really facing, you know, a close watch from folks on his on the right wing side, the right flank, just kind of watching how aggressive he is. You know, there was a lot of watching about how he was handling the civil arrest warrants, which he signed. But that still doesn't mean that they're not watching to see how aggressive he is in terms of pursuing them. But that said, you know, Dustin Burrows continues, you know, what, you know, his speakership is going to be right now. It's focused on this aspect of watching, you know, the conservative criticism, but it could be, you know, something that he's really going after people who supported his speakership.
And Ashley, Republicans tell me that, listen, you know, one thing the Democrats have done is brought us all together. They are factions of the Texas Republican Party of Texas here, but they say the Democrats in this quorum break have brought everyone together. Just a moment ago, we heard from Shelley Luther, and she said there are a few rules changes that might actually become fruition here, might actually come into fruition, and that is, you know, killing the vice chairmanships, getting rid of parking spaces for these Democrats who've taken off. You know, smaller things like that rather than the bluster we're seeing from some of our state leaders. What's realistic at the end of the day?
I mean, I think some of those smaller things to swipe at their seniority, you know, those things obviously could happen. I'm not sure that, again, we will see the vice chairmanships go away. That is a longstanding tradition, you know, in the House. New, obviously, to have it as a vice chair rather than a chair of a committee, but to still have Democrats give them some sort of power. But, you know, Jason, nothing brings people together like a common enemy, right? And so the Republicans, they want these seats. They can't get these seats because of the Democrats. And now, yes, they're unified in their dislike for their Democratic colleagues.
And Abby, I know you're watching this from afar, but when you look at the state legislature here, does Burrows have a shot of getting reelected from Republicans with this Democratic quorum break bringing everyone together?
Well, this is a hard thing to predict, especially for someone in my position. But what I can say is that just as the Republicans are unifying against the Democrats are unifying and coordinating against the Republicans. And the escalatory nature and the openness to retaliation is making this story very unpredictable. And when I'm in Washington, I can see the old rules falling apart. And I have to wonder if that's happening in Texas as well, just as a trend.
That's a good point. So let me ask you that. When you're in D.C., because all this is going to affect D.C. at the end of the day, when you're in D.C., are people talking about this there, about what's happening in Texas? And I guess bigger than that, how do you repair this? Because there's nothing stopping Texas from going through with it, and it seems like it's going to happen.
This has absolutely exploded in American politics to the point that it's beginning to take over Epstein in the conversations of the political class. I think the way this unwinds is either there's federal legislation, and I don't know the constitutionality of it, but also, what if this all happens? All of these maps are drawn all over the country, and one party only picks up one or two seats from it. Everyone may step back and look and say, oh, that wasn't worth the effort. But right now, I don't see any of those scenarios happening.
Ian, let's talk about the next 12 days here, 10, 12 days that the Democrats have left before this special session ends. They say, well, listen, we're staying out at least through the 19th to kill this, but there's nothing to stop the governor from calling another special session. If he calls another special session, what, any idea what that would look like? There are 18 things, issues he wants lawmakers to handle on this one. Would it be as big, I wonder? And what's to stop Democrats from leaving again besides money?
Good question. What is to stop them? I mean, I think, you know, and Greg Abbott has said he will call special session after special session if needed. You know, obviously there are some really kind of high profile items that are on here with this special session agenda, THC, STAR exams, obviously most, you know, flood relief aspects of that. You know, and there were a lot of bills that Governor Abbott vetoed that need to get that were needed to get brought up too. It's going to be hard, especially to see where the debate goes when it comes to redistricting. But some of these things that aren't getting as much attention could just end up falling by the wayside.
And Ashley, the one person or the handful of people I haven't talked to in all this are the Democrats who are actually going to the Texas House of Representatives, showing up for their duty, because there are a handful there. Any idea from your team on Capitol Hill there in Austin what they are met with?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they are showing up and sort of doing the best they can, the best that they can. They're there to kind of keep their ears, you know, right there to the Capitol to see what's happening and to try to work on the issues that they can. I think that there is tension, though. And when you look at what happened in 2021 when the Democrats broke quorum, they knew that eventually they were going to lose the war. But the idea was to win the day is the common saying. Sure. And so I think that's what they want to do. They know they want to kill this right now, this special session. They realize that they're not going to be able to stop this forever, but they're going to try to do what they can right now and worry about the future in the future.
Yeah, indeed. So, hey, before we let you go, Abby, Wesley Hunt, Congressman Wesley Hunt, what do you think? Last few seconds here. Does he get into this race for U.S. Senate in Texas?
If he does or if he doesn't, this is the most unpredictable Senate race on the map, and it's the most unpredictable Senate race I've ever seen in Texas.
All right, guys, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Thanks as always. We appreciate you watching as well. We're back next Sunday to take you inside Texas politics, and we hope to see you then. Take care.